This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Hey, church, can you believe where I'm standing right now? In the shadow of a monument to a man who had an incredible impact on this nation and one who has a connection to our buildings that makes it all the more remarkable. Of course, I've been in Washington this week for some meetings, and this is the place I wanted to wind up, and I wanted this view for you to share, to just convey my deep conviction that I believe the Lord wants to use us in equally amazing ways to impact our country. I think about it, when Lincoln was in our buildings, he was running for president, he was a senator, slavery was the rule of the land, and Lincoln looked around and said, this just isn't right, someone's got to do something. And despite opposition, despite great cost, obviously it cost him tremendously to take the stand that he did, I believe the Lord is looking for men and women today to make a stand, to make a difference, to believe that God can use them to do amazing things. And I'm believing he can use us to do amazing things. So along with me and thousands of other tourists here at the Lincoln Memorial, I just wanted to say to you, and in the shadow of Mr. Lincoln, I believe God can use us just as mightily if we're available and we'll say yes to him. What do you say, church?
Can you say yes? Wow, it's just, you know, I just knew that's what I wanted to do, to stand in front of Mr. Lincoln with the ridiculous connection that we have to that man. Can you believe it? Does that blow your mind? Abraham Lincoln, the big white statue, right? It's like the man who helped rid this nation of the evils of slavery. It's ridiculous. And I just am so grateful, you know, just some quick trip out and back, but some very significant meetings we had this week in Washington. And just so grateful for all that the Lord is doing. I just want to ask, how many of you really felt you received a touch from the Lord this morning during that time of prayer? Just, I'm going to see your hand. Oh my gosh, awesome. You know, it's important to testify. When the Lord does something, you need to say so. That's a part of your weapon, right? The word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and by not loving our lives even unto the death. So you say that. When God touches you, don't let that be a secret, because that'll also encourage someone else. See, you saw the hand. Raise your hands again if God touched you this morning in a way that you can kind of like know. So look around. If that doesn't convince you that God is real and alive on the earth today, then we need to do some more prayer, right? I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. That's where we're eventually going to end up. I just want to do a quick thank you. We had a busy week. Even while I was gone, we hosted the Chamber of Commerce event here. Young leaders from around the city, I just want to say thank you. If you're one of the team who helped pull that off, would you also raise your hand so we can thank you? There was a team of people. So just give them a hand. Great opportunity to touch a segment of our business community. And as I suspected, the reports I got is they were pretty blown away by what's happening here. In fact, the leader of the group told the group, this is the coolest place we've ever met, you know. And so that word is going to spread, and that's pretty awesome. And then we had to turn the building around for a wedding Friday, and then, of course, get ready for Church Sunday. So that's pretty awesome testimony. Thank you for your faithfulness. As Matt said, not only to give, you really blessed Pastor Juan. By the way, he bagged a monster buck Sunday night. Remember, he said that. He said, I'm going to get the biggest buck ever, and he did. The people that own his hunting ground he hunts on said, we've never seen a deer that large on our property. So blessings from heaven. And then I came in from Washington yesterday at noon, got home, took a quick nap, changed clothes, and Krista and I were at the Civic Arena praying for the mayor's Thanksgiving dinner last night. It's just like, what is going on? This is crazy, but it's awesome. It's crazy, crazy cool. I'm going to start with a verse of scriptures, and it's not in Ephesians. I just want to give you a few lead-up verses here. 1 Chronicles 12:32 from the New King James says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, say understanding, to know, say no,
what Israel ought to do. This is a picture for us of a people who had understanding. They knew the season they were in, and they knew what to do to lead their nation. This is a critical time for us to do that. Surreal. You know, I'm just transporting myself back to Friday night. I'm standing in front of the White House. It's like, what? But it's changed a little since I was there before. There are just layers of security. You can't even walk on the street in front of the White House, and really it's the back of the White House, and there's an entire huge acreage between the street and the White House, and even that street has barricades and police officers, and I got yelled at for not staying on the sidewalk, right? I guess I thought I was going to jump the fence or something. I don't know. But it's just like, wow. And it was kind of sad, you know, in a way. I understand it. But it's a part of the times that we live in. We've got to know and discern the times that we live in. We've got to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Do you realize that this is our time? You're here. You're alive. This is your time and my time. This is the generation called for this specific moment in history. We must know what God is saying to his church and be ready to participate. I love what I see God doing, and I just want to be among those. I know you do too. We're heading into this Christmas season, and I just was thinking about the message title today. I titled it, What Time Is It? And I thought, you know, there's the old Christmas hymn, What Child Is This? Like, okay, so what time is this? And so many people, even when it was time for the long-awaited Messiah to be born, didn't understand the time or the season or know what to do, right? Some people got it, but a whole lot of people didn't. It's kind of a parallel to where we are today. I'm grateful for all that God is doing, and he's up to something great in our time. By the way, I've got to acknowledge my coughing spiritual daughter on the front row. Chanel is back in the house, healing her way. But it's so cool how I believe that we are being prepared. Chanel's been gone for 3 months and just immersing herself in an opportunity to grow spiritually. And that's exactly what we all, I think, are being called to. We can't all go for 90 days to North Carolina, like some people I know. But we are called for this moment in history. We've got to know what God's asking of us. This is the biblical year. If you go by the biblical calendar, the year 5778. And Krista and I happened to be at House of David with Rabbi Kurt during Rosh Hashanah, the new year. And I'm going to share some thoughts that he brought for the beginning of that year that I believe are so applicable. I kind of started this message about 6 weeks ago, right? And then I got rudely interrupted by all these awesome people. And so it's just been wonderful for me to see what God is up to. I kind of want to wrap up where I began. By the way, Rabbi Kurt will be here January 13th and 14th. Yeah, for a healing crusade. So, you know, what he said was, he said, I'm not going to bring my Jewish stuff, okay? He said, I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is to the show me state, we're going to show them that God is real. So if you know somebody who needs a physical touch, just saying, you need to get them here. It's going to be a powerful way to start the year. Here's what Rabbi said. 5778 is not only a year of new beginnings, but also a reckoning of God, taking account or a computation of settlement of past stolen or delayed resources. I can relate to that. I don't even want to go into detail, but I can just tell you, I feel that is something I would like to see. Past stolen or delayed resources. It is, in my word, a year of restoration. That is the year that we are in. That is the season, the time that we're in. So it's critically important that we know in this season, what is God saying? What's he requiring of us? We align ourselves with his word, with his will, and his good pleasure. And when we do that, amazing things can happen. I love the song we sang this morning. Wasn't that a sweet time of worship? Oh my gosh, I was about melted my butter right there on the front row. Just a big puddle right there. So good, team. I really, really appreciate
what God is doing here at Restoration. Alignment, that word alignment is a critical word. You know, if you go to the chiropractor, you go to get aligned, right? You're a little out of kilter, and the chiropractor knows how to crack you up and get you going back in alignment. A lot of things get messed up when you're out of alignment. Alignment, Rabbi says, is the key to living in peace. That word peace, what's the Hebrew word for peace? Shalom. But like all Hebrew words, because there weren't that many nouns in Hebrew, like 400 was all there were. So these words had to represent a number of different things. So shalom literally means nothing missing, nothing broken. So it's peace, right? Peace is included in that. But the context, kind of the visceral meaning of this is in your life, nothing missing, nothing broken. May the shalom of God rest on you today. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. That's what happens when alignment takes place. So we're going to talk about alignment today. And are we ready to be in that position? It was October the 8th, actually, that I presented the first half of this message. So you can go on our archive and find that. By the way, hello to online friends this morning around the world. Rabbi said to be correctly aligned with apostolic leadership is to be able to accomplish your call in life. So that's why this word alignment is so critical. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You in alignment. When you're, I'm not selling chiropractic, okay? But it's like, according to the theory, when you're correctly aligned, other things work better, right? You have pain, you have things that just don't function the way they should. But when you're aligned, then the shalom, the peace of God works in your life so that there's nothing missing. And nothing broken, and things are working the way they were supposed to. And one thing I know for me as the leader of this house is I've been called to help you find that place that you belong, to help you find your alignment in the house of God so that you can accomplish your call. And that's what I believe was so awesome about the past several weeks. You know, people talk, right? And I've heard through the grapevine some minor complaints. Why wasn't Pastor Tim in the pulpit? And I just want you to know that I've really liked the last 6 weeks. Not just because I got a break, you know, but because I think it's amazing. The voices that God has brought sovereignly. And you've got to know, I didn't schedule any of that. It happened just automatically. And in my experience, that's the way God moves. You don't make something happen. You hang on for the ride, baby. It's like, whoa. It's awesome. I'll just give you a little rundown here. Starting with about, you know, in the middle of September, Pastor Roy and Honey Wolftail from the Blackfeet Nation in Montana, Pastor Joel Burton and his wife Shonda from Ohio, who are directly connected to ministry to First Nations people, Sarah McInnes and her husband Adam were here. Sarah, you know, the one who had that amazing reconciliation with her mom. We got some of the rest of the story about that that I'm not at liberty to share. I'm just telling you, that didn't stop on our platform. Things began to continue. Sarah, of course, having this amazing ministry now to sex trafficked women. Pastor Blessing Nya from Lomé, Togo, shut the front door. Are you kidding me? We didn't even ask for that. That was just a gift from God to have Pastor Blessing here. I had a Bishop Paul this morning said, "We love you guys. We miss you so much." It's like, stop it. It's like he's just knitting our hearts with people all over the world. You think about the connections. Pastor Juan Carlos, he's a friend of ours, but he's a Cuban man, you know. And then last Sunday night, a pastor from the Netherlands was here in the house at our prayer time. It's a powerful prayer time as we prayed over Skylar and just had a time to soak in God's presence. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? You know, from First Nations to Ohio to Tennessee to West Africa to Cuba to the Netherlands. I'm in Washington, D.C. I come back and I pray at the mayor's prayer breakfast. Do you understand that there are significant things going on right now? Do you kind of get that feel, that sense that something is up? You know, one of our own getting to go and soak in the awesome presence of what God's doing nationally and be connected to all these national leaders that spoke into Chanel while she was gone. I'm like, yeah, Jesus, come on, bring that. We take it. We must not take these opportunities for granted. And if all goes well, We just got to pray this one in. It looks like we may be closing on the buildings this week. This week. So just got to pray that one in. And what's interesting about that is this week is my 9th anniversary of becoming a lead pastor. Tell me that that's coincidental, you know. And Krista turns 25 this week, by the way, too. So God is up to something big. And I know one thing about your call, okay? You are called to do more than just go to church. You're not called to just sit in a seat and receive, although I'm glad that you do. But there's something God has called you to do. You have a mission. Sarah talked about this when she was here. You have a purpose, a task, something to do. It was funny yesterday coming back. I flew back from D.C. I left about 8:30, got into Kansas City a little before noon. And there was a fellow sitting beside me on the plane who had just come back from Delhi, India, New Delhi. And he'd been flying for 24 hours and smelled like it. You know what I mean? It's like, poor guy. I was like, oh, it's like this guy. And he slept most of the way. But I was working on my notes or reviewing, and I just had a sense that he's probably going to see what I'm writing here. And sure enough, when he woke up, I gave him a couple of Tic Tacs. And then he said, he said, so are you like a pastor? And I said, how did you guess? He said, well, I just kind of glanced at your notes. I said, yeah, okay. He said, you know, you asked a question in your notes. You said, what is God calling you to do? And he said, do you really think you can know what God's called you to do? And I said, yeah, I do. I do. But we had about a half hour dialogue then about what does that mean to know? And he said, I think sometimes people are intimidated because they don't know. I said, I think you're right. So they do just come to church and sit in the pew if they come to church. Or they just kind of resign themselves like, okay, well, that's not for me. That's for other people. And I said, well, here's the thing. What I've been taught is you find that thing that makes you come alive. The thing that makes you weep and pound the table is the terminology that I've heard. You find that. You just start doing what's before you to do. And in the process, you discover what you were created for. So yeah, God has called you for a unique destiny and purpose. And it's not probably going to just drop on you someday. You're probably going to discover it as you get up off your duff and you start doing something. And you discover the way you should go. That's what Proverbs says. Train up a child in the way they should go. And then when they're old, they won't depart. And what I teach that, you know, I say, it's not the way you think they should go. It's the way they were created and crafted and put together. So as good parents, we help our children discover the way they should go. As a good spiritual papa of the house, I want to help you discover the way you should go. And I guarantee you, the way you should go isn't to just sit and be a couch potato waiting for something to land on you. No, you get up and you get active. There are things to do. There are battles to fight. There are important things to invest your life in that make a difference while you're here. And in the process, I think you'll discover the way you should go. This is a time to know you are called and to know where you are called. Listen to me. To know that you're called, you know that you're a son. Matt, you're a son of God. You are created. That's who you are, your identity. But you also have to know where you're called. You have to know what your gift is, what your purpose is. Rabbi talked about the Israelites in the Exodus from Egypt. And he said the 12 tribes tended to land in one of four different categories. I thought this was really good. I just want to go through these quickly for you this morning. He said the first category were those that were exceedingly afraid, right? These are the ones that had to change their underwear because they saw Pharaoh chasing them, you know, and they saw the Red Sea, and they're just freaking out, and they're just screaming and panicking, and, you know, it's like they weren't much help at all. Some people landed in that category, exceedingly afraid. The second category was the ones that said, let's just go back. Let's just go back to Egypt. Come on. What are we doing out here? We were stupid to think we could ever do something great. At least back there we had something to eat and a roof over our head, right? They just kind of gave up. Let's go back. That's the second category. Third category were the ones. These are the feisty ones. Let's fight the Egyptians. Let's fight the enemy, you know? And God loved them for their zeal. But I'm telling you that oftentimes that zeal, you can run out there like a chicken with your head off and lose the rest of your limbs too, right? It's like, you've got to know the battle you've been called to fight. It's not just about fighting all the time. And without getting political at all, I can just tell you that I've had some encounters in the last 6 months with people, even longer ago than that. I would not, from the platform, endorse what's the opposite of that, Carrie? Endorse or slam any candidate for president. I wouldn't do that. That's not my job, because I knew I had people in this congregation that were on both sides of that fence. People left the church because I wouldn't endorse a candidate, or I wouldn't get involved in the political process. That's not my job. It's not my call. I'm going to stay in my lane, okay? This is my lane. I have values. I believe they're based on the Word of God. I will always stand up for those. I don't care who you are, but I'm not going to get pulled into a battle that is not mine to fight. You know, this election for the school levy, you know, a couple weeks ago, whenever that was, it's like, when I was asked if I would be a voice, I said, well, heck yeah, I'll be a voice. Because I've got a daughter who's a freshman in high school, and I want her to have the best education possible. And yeah, bad things have happened in the past, but when are we going to move on? But there was so much anger. My gosh, I mean, it was evident. I even got slammed, you know, on Facebook for what I did. And it's like, I don't want to be a part of the anti-crowd. You know what I mean? I know what you're against. Tell me what you're for. It's easy to point out the problem. When are you going to be a part of the solution? When are you going to do something to make a difference? Not denying the problem. It's like, well, let's do something about that. Let's just not be against everything. Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
Okay, so those are the three categories. The fourth one, though, the tribes of Judah and Joseph, which I think that's no accident. Judah means praise, right? I think there's something. We have a deposit of praise in this house. We just do. I mean, I'm for every church that names the name of Jesus, but we got the best worship. Just telling you, right? Judah means praise, and we have a deposit. We have to recognize our gift and you know, use that. Judah and Joseph, which we happen to have a namesake, you know, our city named after, responded to the season. Listen to this. They fought, they arose, but they did it from a place of identity, knowing that they were called as kings and priests. That's different than just going, let's fight. You know, that's virtuous in some regards, but it's not very smart. To know you're a king and a priest puts you in an entirely different position of strength from which to fight. Okay? I don't know if that really translated well. When you know that you're a king or a priest, a son or daughter of God, that you are walking in your identity, that you are the called, that you are the one that the Spirit of God lives in, and where you go, the atmosphere changes because of the presence of God in you. Then you're not fighting according to the flesh. You're not flailing your arms. You are walking in peace, shalom, right alignment, nothing missing, nothing broken. And where you go, Jesus says, I go with you. You're walking as a king or a priest. And I believe this. We're not focused on the enemy. That's the problem, see. When you focus on the enemy, you already know you're in a weak position. Don't focus on the enemy. Focus on the harvest and the provision. That's what Rabbi said. Focus on the harvest. Say harvest. And provision. So you've got to know that this is a time we've got to be focused on the harvest. I mean, if Jesus said in his day the fields are white, guess what they are now? You know, overly ripe, almost rotten. It's like we have got to get to work. And guess what? You can be at peace. You can be at shalom because his provision is here. It's available. It's accessible to us. Focus not on the enemy, but on the harvest and the provision. He said, this is the Judah-Joseph season, and we are called to be aligned with the Judah-Joseph tribe. In 5778, you've got to know which division you're called to. Now, listen, I didn't mean to be condescending toward the first three categories. Some people fall into those, and that's okay. You just got to know. I just know as for me and my house, we're called to be Judah Joseph. We're called to focus on the harvest and the provision. And yeah, there's an enemy, and God will deal with him. I believe that when we say yes to his heart, you cannot help but walk in a place where you're going to see some things happen that could not happen if you weren't in alignment with him. To know where you're called, if you're a fighter, you get yourself into a fighting house. We're a fighting house, but how we fight is by focusing on the harvest and the provision. The Judah-Joseph season, kings and priests. The Lord is gathering those Judahs and Josephs right now from the nations. It's a gathering of the tribe. That's what's taking place. I told Krista yesterday after I got back from Washington, I said, it's amazing to me how he's aligning us with certain streams. You know, the fact of the people that have been in this house the last 6 weeks, who's spoken into us, who've poured into this mix of what God is doing through restoration. It's amazing. And it lines up with Isaiah 43, verse 19, where God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? See, that's the key, is knowing, recognizing, understanding. He says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There's the provision. Doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside, he's able to do beyond what we could ask or imagine when we're aligned with him, focused on the harvest and the provision. When God's good pleasure becomes our good pleasure, Rabbi says, the fire of new beginnings ignites hope and vision for a bright future. Come on, who's ready for hope and vision for a bright future? It's going to require the fire. Require the fire. That's a good, you know, there was acquire the fire. Maybe this is require. We require fire. If you're going to fulfill your call and your gift, you're not going to be able to do it in your own strength, but your strength, when it's yielded to God, becomes a tool, a weapon that he can use for kings and priests to know who they are, where they're called, rightly aligned, focused on the harvest and the provision. And then things happen. Things happen that you couldn't accomplish in your own flesh. Now we're going to get to the scripture in Ephesians. We're going to kind of hop here over some chapters and just point out a few things. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons. Okay, wow. There is like a universe packed into that we can't camp out too long on. But here's what I wrote in my subnote: no longer orphans. There's revelation there. Too often we live as orphans. God has called us as sons and daughters. And I think that's our call, to tell the world who they are. Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This is his good pleasure. This is his will. That's why earlier we could pray a salvation prayer, not even wondering whether it was God's will for people to come into intimate relationship with him and to know how loving and eager he is to come in and have fellowship with them, to hang out with them, to embrace them. I don't care what condition your life is in. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God like that. He chose you. Before you were born, he chose you. Jesus went to the cross long before you were born, right? And he did it for you. He chose you. And if we could just understand that revelation right there, that we are sons and daughters. Close your eyes. Put your hand on your chest. If you're male, you're going to say, I'm a son, right? If you're female, you're going to say, I'm a daughter. But just say this. Say, I'm a son of the Most High God. He loves me, accepts me, and receives me just as I am. Holy Spirit, let that revelation sink down deep. Let it break off the lies of the evil one. Let it break off that orphan spirit that causes us to run from the very thing that would bring our healing. Ephesians chapter 2. verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is your call. This is your destiny. Every person alive has one. The saddest thing is going to the grave and not knowing what it was. Or going to the grave knowing what it was and not fulfilling your call. And that's not a pressure thing. I loved it this morning when we sang, what was the song that said we were going to rest? What was that? Yes and amen. Yeah. I will rest. Oh my gosh, I just went, I about did the iced tea plunge right there. Just fall back. I will rest. You know, Pharaoh's the slave driver. He's cracking the whip. God doesn't do that. He doesn't crack a whip and slave drive. He gave you the desire. He wants to grant you the desires of your heart when you're resting in him, when your identity is in him. It says, I will rest in your promises. My confidence, your faithfulness. So good. Wow. Ephesians 3:20. So to this Father who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you have the most powerful resource in the universe. The one who created the moon and stars and all that stuff lives in you as a son or daughter. And when you realize that, you understand that there is nothing too difficult, nothing outside the realm of possibility. It was just surreal, you know. And I've been to Washington several times, but, you know, now where I'm at in life, looking around and just what I said in the video, I believe. Abraham Lincoln did an amazing thing. And it all began with a burden and a desire on his heart, what he was called and created to do in the face of opposition that eventually cost him his life. And yet, was it worth it? Absolutely. Talk to those men and women in slavery who were set free and ask them if it was worth it. I believe God wants to do amazing things through us. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. You know, you have to kind of read this slowly. Not to the church. What's the word? By the church. So whose mission and mandate is it to make the manifold wisdom of God known? The church. It's us. That kind of freaked me out a little bit when I read that. It's like, whoa. I mean, God obviously is involved in the process. Guess who he's counting on? By the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. God's desire is to release his manifold wisdom so that our society, so that our city, our community, so that your neighborhood, so that your family can walk in shalom, in alignment, in peace and provision, nothing missing, nothing broken. Wow. I want to go into Thanksgiving with that in mind. That's my Father's will for my family, for my household, for my city. That's why last night I could stand in front of those men and women at the mayor's Thanksgiving dinner and genuinely say, I am grateful for my city. I'm thankful for where I live. There should be a shout of amen right now. I'm grateful for my city. I thank God for this place. I'm telling you what, that crowd, about 500 people in the Civic Arena, I'm not sure they understood. They got too much political angst. They're fighting battles that's wearing them out. I want to be in the Judah Joseph generation as a king and priest, focusing on the harvest and on his provision, that we will make a difference in our generation. Ephesians 2:22, final verse, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. See, this is what God is building us together. As much as I love our old buildings, that's not That's not the church. This is the church right here gathered this morning. And he's building us together as a dwelling place for God and the Spirit. That's why I said everywhere that you go, the Spirit of God goes with you. But I'll tell you what, there's something unique that happens when we get together. That's why, you know, Hebrews says, don't forsake coming together. God wants to do something corporately among us. I love that people can come into this house now, whether it's at a Chamber of Commerce meeting or at a wedding or on a Sunday morning celebration, and experience the presence of God because the people of God are here. That's what makes a difference. It was all those beautiful smiling ladies who hosted that chamber meeting on Thursday morning. That's what made the difference. Our building is awesome, but I'm telling you, it's the people in the building that make the difference. God is doing something new today with his Judas and his Josephs. But listen to this. If you're a Judah and a Joseph, you must trust God and come out of your self-protection. You must abandon your anxieties and fears that keep you bound up. It's like locked away. You're prevented from fully engaging or running the race because you've got these walls of protection and fears and anxieties, and that's going to have to be dealt with. You're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to choose to step forward. The season has changed. Will you change with it? That's the question. Every one of us in this room have had failures and ways we've blown it, myself included. This is the year to break agreement with fear. I'm just telling you right now. You break agreement with fear. Don't be motivated and driven by fear. Those first three categories of Israelites, they missed the opportunity to partner with God. They physically might have been delivered, but we know from the story, getting through the Red Sea was not the end of their troubles, was it? Because Egypt, you know, they had been delivered from Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. They needed to be delivered from what they carried with them. Walls of fear, walls of anxiety. We're called to be a people to let that fire of God burn in us and then through us deliver this freedom to those we come in contact with. And I believe this, freedom for generations, freedom for nations. And that is not too big of a vision for us to have at Restoration Church. Trust me. One more word, I lied to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also, this is you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's you. He's talking about you. Yeah, okay, it's you. Growing also into a dwelling place for the God, for a place of God in the Spirit. This is not a time to try to go it alone. This is not a time to isolate. I remember we came back from Togo, and Rabbi said this to Krista and me. He said, your church is going to have to recognize you're not called to be just a local community church. You're called to influence nations. And that's not just a generic, well, everybody has the generic call, but the Lord is already confirming by bringing the nations to us. In the last 3 weeks, Africa, Cuba, the Netherlands, that's just the last 3 weeks. He's confirming the call of what he's doing. And we must know, I love this, if the Lord calls you to a particular land, to a place, then that is where your provision lies. You've got to know where you're called to. And when you're called and you step into that assignment, that alignment, then your provision is there. I remember we moved into these buildings, you know, from the East Coast there, East Coast of St. Joe. And it's like the Lord said to me, you've come to your stronghold. And I'd never really used that term in a positive way before. I always think of stronghold in a negative way. Well, guess what? The enemy is just a copycat. That's all he is. He can only copycat. He's not creative. He's not an original creator. He just copies what he sees God doing and counterfeits it. So if the enemy has a stronghold, guess what? The people of God have a stronghold too. Guess where our stronghold lies? Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We're trusting in the name of the Lord our God. We're focusing on the harvest and on the provision. And God brought us to this place. This is our land. This is our place to dwell. And from this stronghold, we will fight more effectively than we could any other place on the planet. Because this is our land. And our provision is here. Come on now. I'm feeling this. This is our place. From this stronghold. It's a place of shelter. It's also a place where we're going to kick devil butt. Okay? Because this is the place we fight from the strongest. Interesting, when Pastor Joel Burton was here, I don't remember if he said this publicly or to me privately, but he said, when those buildings become yours, look out. When you put your name on the deed, you're saying to the city as well as the adversary, we're not going anywhere. We're putting down roots. We're establishing ourselves in the land. He said, that's going to open something for you in the spirit. And I really believe he's right. It's interesting that it's been held off this long. You know, we were supposed to have closed back in June. Interesting that the timing has waited now until this season. And I just don't want to say about that. Just going to leave it out there for you to ponder. And in the past few weeks, God's brought all these people to speak into the vision. And now he's like, he's poised us, he's positioned us for this new season. You know that I said it was my 9th year as a pastor, and I looked up the Hebrew connection to the number 9, and it signals a finality. It's like there's a season that has ended and a new season is beginning. And I'm really excited about this new season. I really am. I'm thinking, man, there's some pretty good stuff to come. One thing that Rabbi said, I want to make sure that I mention, is he said, don't curse your gift. Listen to me. Don't curse your gift trying to fit in. Are you hearing me, church? You need to write that down. Don't curse your gift trying to fit in. Because we need you, Rose. You. We need Rose. I don't need you to be anybody else but Rose, okay? Matthew, I need you to be Matthew. There's no other Matthew besides you, and we need you. Dante, telling you. It's like every person in this place has been called here specifically. And Ephesians says we're being fit together. And it makes my heart swell to know, God, what are you building? It's something so magnificent. I can't even imagine. It's more than I can ask or think. And I love it. And everywhere you go, the kingdom goes with you. This man sitting by me in the airplane yesterday, it's like he got touched by the kingdom just because we were sitting on the same plane, despite how he smelled. It didn't matter, right? It's like, I hope my aroma got on him more than his got on me, is what I'm hoping, right? The sweet fragrance of the kingdom there. But here's what I've got to ask you. What time is it? It's your time. It's your time. And I'm talking to everybody in the house today and everybody watching online. It is your time. Know the times and seasons. Be positioned in the house of God. Be aligned so that the shalom of God follows you wherever you go. You don't have to worry.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person. We hope to see you soon.
Of all I've known, you take your rightful place.